Hello and you're very welcome to the Women's Rugby Pod, episode 180, part 2 of our Six Nations preview. We heard from the coaches yesterday. Today it's all about the players, about the captains. We've got Sam Monaghan, the co-captain of Ireland. We've got Alyssa Giordano, captain of Italy. Mene Fellow from France. Dr. Rachel Malcolm, Hannah Jones of Wales, and of course Marley Packer, the Red Roses skipper as well. Enough from me, let's get straight to it, back to back, hearing all the thoughts from the captains. First up, it's Marley Packer.
Marley, you are 5 hours in. Where are the energy levels on the Six Nations launch day?
They're still quite high, to be fair. You know, I think you've got to bring energy to these kind of things because otherwise it could be a really long, dragging day. So if you bring energy, you make the most of it, and then when the footage comes back out and gets shown, then actually people see the energy off the pitch like this, they might want to come to the game and watch me on the pitch.
Look at this full circle approach from Marley Packer, yeah. bring the energy. Look, you've been here before. Do you know how many Six Nations you've been in now? Probably should have done my research, shouldn't I? But
yeah.
Let's say 47.
No, 47? Why? I ain't that old, Johnny. I'd say maybe this is my 7th, 8th.
Is that all?
Yeah. Well, I spent a few years out playing sevens, didn't I?
Of course, yeah.
So, yeah. 3 years, sevens, I think it was.
Any different to the build-up to this one, the mood in the camp?
No, I think the hype around the Six Nations has massively changed, which is super exciting. But as in the mood in camp, look, we just want to... It's like any Six Nations. Every player wants to be involved in the Six Nations. It's a great tournament to be a part of. The hype in the camp, everyone seems to be in a good mood. Obviously, Mitch, this is his first tournament, like, proper involved, WXV. We were very much playing his game plan, but it was led by Deeks and the rest of the coaching staff, whereas this is very much Mitch. We've been having online calls in the weeks running up to then our first camp, just to start getting some of the knowledge, some of the terminology, the understanding into us. So it's just been drip fed in. So actually then when we came into camp, we can get the ball rolling straight away. We had a camp last week. Coming off of that camp, then another PWR game, which now that's put to bed for the Six Nations. We come back in and, you know, it's just fully focused on the job in hand, and that's putting the best performances out for the Red Roses.
You're talking about John Mitchell there. What has he brought? I mean, you're talking about some detail there. Was it a case of him tightening nuts and bolts, or is it a complete sea change?
Oh, I think we've had a complete sea change, to be fair. It's not about nuts and bolts. You know, we needed new direction. We needed a bit of a lease of life. And that's definitely what we've got. We've got a different game plan, which hopefully you got to see out in WXV. Did it all go to plan in WXV? No, there were some bits about our game plan that weren't quite right. But we've had the chance now to evolve it, to move on. I think he proposes questions to us as players, collectively as a group, and then individually to different players, which then actually makes us grow, not just grow on the pitch, but grow off the pitch. And, you know, for me, sometimes I think I really get him, and then the next day I have a conversation and I think I'm lost in what he said yesterday. So it's just making sure that actually that you're learning with him in, like, how he wants to have things done.
How much is the fire burning bright for you, Marley?
Yeah, massively. Like, 2025 is just around the corner. We talk about our Everest in camp at the moment. And, you know, you don't just get to Everest, climb up it, and then climb down it. Jobs are good in. It's about going up there a bit, coming down a bit, to then climb up a bit more and coming down. And, yeah, you know, I think that's the roller coaster of a professional athlete. As a rugby player, like, you might not get selected, which then makes you come down Everest a bit. Or, you know, you get selected for a game, but then deselected for a bigger game, so, or an injury might happen, or, you know, anything like that. So I think it's about, you know, enjoying the ride that you're on. And we talk about it, but we've done a bit of culture away from the pitch as the Red Roses, and in what we're doing there. And you know, we want everybody to be involved in that, and we want to have the tightest bond that we've ever had before. And you know, if you have an unbreakable bond with one another about one common goal, which is whatever we want our Everest to be, then actually, if you can't break that, we're going to be a hard team to break on the pitch.
So what's the focus then? Is it building to 2025, or is this Six Nations incredibly important to lay down foundations and get a W, get a Grand Slam?
It's building to 2025, but you know, Six Nations is a massive tournament. We're not going into Six Nations not wanting to win it, but we can't go into Six Nations thinking we're going to win it on the last weekend. You've got to win it every game you play. So that is making sure we go out there and we have a really good performance against Italy, you know, and then we build from that. You might see some new faces. We might see the likes of Abby Ward, Emily Scarra, Zoe Harrison come back. Like, we haven't seen them since the World Cup final. So actually, the combinations are going to change from WXV. You know, different people coming in, different people have different leadership styles, different ways they do things, but it's collectively coming together to put that performance out.
Talking about some of those faces coming back in, their experienced faces and people who watch women's rugby will know those names. Talk to us about some of the new names that players gutted for Katie Buchanan, although hopefully she's going to come back into to the squad later in the tournament. But some of those fresher faces that are really, really pushing it and have been selected on form in the PWR.
Yeah, so Maddie was one that's come into the camp.
Maddie Fairnarty, yeah.
Yeah, and I think with that, she came in fresh-faced. She's performed in the PWR down at Exeter. The coaches have seen it, picked up on it, in like she's in camp. So really looking forward to seeing what she can do for us. Holly, out on the wing, she's come in. Sydney Gregson, obviously I play with her at Saracens. Like, these players are all really exciting and they're really good at PWR, but there is a step up from PWR to international rugby, and it's making sure that we help them get the right foundations and are in the right, not just performance wise but mindset, that they can perform like they perform at PWR in a Red Roses shirt.
But obviously Fairnarty is definitely a six, not a seven. Yeah.
She can be what she likes, Johnny.
But she ain't having your seven shirt.
Not anytime soon, though.
you touched on Italy. We've been out in Italy. When England have struggled, certainly first 40 minutes. It's not the easiest place to go and start a campaign, is it?
No, definitely not. And you never know what pictures Italy are going to pose on you. What we do know is a squad that, you know, we're not going to win games in the first 40 minutes of a game. Like, teams, this Six Nations, we've got professionalism. The likes of Wales, they've been professional now for 2 years. The fitness side of things, the chinks in the armory should all be shining now and ready to go because they've had time to build. And I think, you know, that gap has closed, and we need to remember we're not going to win in the first 20-40 minutes, but it's how we play in that to then, when we come out second half, back up the performance from the first half to the second half.
What constitutes success for England this Six Nations?
I think what constitutes success for us is that...
It should be a Grand Slam, shouldn't it? All the resources and player base and all the rest of it?
No, I think for us it's success for around the park. Like, we're going to be putting in targets. We're going to be putting in where we want to hit in certain defensive areas, attacking areas, how we want to see things. That's going to be success for us in each game. It's not just about the points you put on the board and a win. It's about actually, are we successful in what we're trying to build, what we're trying to do? And I think that's really massive for us. It's not just about points. It's not just about winning. Then come to France, like last, I don't know, 9 times we played France, the games have been tight. We've not won by a lot of points. Like, I think last year at Twickenham, what was it, 5 points or 7 points? It was close like that. The points have always been within one try, 3 points. I can remember Emily Scarrett kicking the final Twickenham a few years ago, last play, and she kicked 3 points for us to win it. So, you know, it's who's going to turn up and be the best team on the day. Like, and that's really what it comes down to. And we just need to make sure it's us, but we have to perform in each game first.
And how excited are the squad and some of those younger players that we're talking about, the chance of going to play at Twickenham? You remember that amazing day last year?
Yeah, it's going to be amazing, and hopefully it becomes the new norm that we're playing in these big stadiums and we're getting in these big crowds. And sorry, for any player, it's about actually being able to that feeling, that hair on the back of your neck when Twickenham singing back at you and you're stood ready to come out, that they can like cherish that moment and keep it, because it is very special. And the game's only growing, and you know, the product we're putting on the pitch, the performance we're putting on the pitch is what we're going to get more people in the stadiums.
Last question, and it's from left field. If you could have one other player from another squad, not the England squad, who would it be and why?
I just got asked this question a minute ago. And
did
I
you? That's BBC. It's a BBC question, isn't it?
No.
That was Sarah, wasn't it?
It was definitely a... I wouldn't choose anyone else in any other nation to play for the Red Roses.
Yeah.
Because I truly believe we got the best players. But if I was to have another player, it would be Jasmine Joyce. I played with her at Sevens. Just the work rate, the speed she runs, but then in defensive effort to work back and make those covering tackles are phenomenal. So, yeah, she would be my one player that I'd take.
Brilliant. So you're straight on the phone to Jess Breach and Abby Dow after this.
Jess Breach is actually my roomie, so I'll tell her that I said this when I get back. Don't worry.
From England, across the Severn Bridge, over to Wales, the lady who does like playing in red, Hannah Jones. Hannah Jones, media launch day. It's another Six Nations campaign. How are you? Where are the excitement levels coming into this Six Nations?
Yeah, what a day, really. And you can really see how far women's rugby has come just by looking around today, how much interest is, you know, coming upon us. And I'm excited to get going with Scotland with the first match.
Yeah, we'll get into Scotland a little bit later, if you don't mind. Talk to us about the squad that have come together. Any new faces, any people you're training going, wow, making the eyes sort of stand up on stalks?
Yeah, there's a few players. You know, you talk about Nell Metcalf, that's been in with us in the WXV. She had a taster of being in that Welsh badge. She's going really well at Gloucester at the moment. She's come in and she's training really well. So there's definitely one to watch there. Jenny Heskin that's come in from Bristol player, very impressive, and really looking forward to see now what's to come.
Well, you're talking about those young kind of backs and outer backs. It's obviously sort of where you play your rugby. One part of you might be going, geez, I don't particularly want the competition for the place, thanks very much. The other side of you, and I'm sure this is the way you do feel, is isn't that fantastic actually? We now got scratching our head. It's not one or two people in each position. We're looking at three, four, five now.
Generally, it's the place you want to be as a player as well. Competition drives you to be better. It drives standards within the squad. I generally don't think I've ever said it. I couldn't call a black back line. Normally, you know, you get put into bibs and you could kind of figure out that's going to be the starting pack, that's going to be the starting back line. But when the girls are swapping in, it's just as good as what the girls have been there before. So it's extremely exciting.
And is that a new feeling?
I think so. This is the first time I've generally felt right. We're cooking on gas here, and we've got, you know, two or three players in a position where if something did happen injury-wise or performance-wise, the next person can do a job.
I think you might be all right. You got the armband on, so I think you might be all right. But yeah, no, look, it's a good point. And inside you, a position I think we probably can say may well start. It's Clakey George, obviously your fly half at Gloucester Harpy as well. It's a really, really exciting time for her, isn't it? And the form she's in.
Definitely, she's been a standout player for years, and she's been knocking on the door for that Welsh jersey. And I really do hope that she gets a chance. You know, she's the informed 10 at the moment at Gloucester. She's running the show there, and we've gone 13 from 13, so she's definitely doing something right there.
She certainly is. Talk to us about what the work-ons have been since WXV. And I know it's a
it's a long ball game, isn't it, that Jurn and the management are taking. But yeah, results probably weren't where they where you want them to be. So where are the performances? Have you had to pull the socks up, as it were, ahead of the Six Nations?
I think going into WXV, we realised, you know, we've got to be a bit more physical or a bit more smart with our game. If we're coming up against bigger players or a bigger pack, that we need to move them about a little bit more. So, you know, our backs need to step up there. And, you know, I want ball in hand. I want ball in my hand. I want to be able to set my wingers up, my full back, go front ball from the forwards and go from there.
Scotland first up. There's been some brilliant, brilliant games over the last few seasons between you and the Scots. Where do they challenge you the most?
Yeah, I think Scotland are a physical encounter, and I definitely think their pack is strong, but I think that's something we can give confidence as well, that our pack is going well as well. And also, when you look at the strength and depth in some positions of the forwards, you couldn't call it there either. Probably a backline threat for us is probably Chloe Rowley at 15. She's a very steppy kick run pass threat, so that's definitely someone to keep an eye on as well if she's named in the squad as well.
Ooh, I like your battle with Emma Orr. I like the look of that. Always do. Good young player.
Yeah, definitely a strong ball carrier. Loves a short line, so yeah, definitely looking forward to that.
Yeah, and you talk about that pack. I mean, how do you fit 7-8 into 3 in the back row, moving in the back five, and then you've got the returning, and it's been great to see Natalia John coming back and Gwen Crabbs back out on the park as well. Real bolstering that pack. Do you set goals for this Six Nations in terms of results, or is it entirely performance driven?
We haven't spoke about it as of yet, but I think as players, we know it's an important year for World Cup qualification, and you know we want to be striving for that WXV1 again. We want to be playing top flight rugby, so we know top three is somewhere we want to push. But you know, we haven't put an end goal to it, but that's somewhere definitely I'd like to be.
6 days. It's a reasonable chance this year, isn't it? Because effectively, you've got four home games with one in Bristol, just over the bridge. Obviously, starting up with Cardiff Arms Park, and I think we're looking at records again, aren't we?
I'm not sure. I haven't seen the numbers yet. But if we go off last year, I think you know we had brilliant support from the crowd. We sold out Cardiff Arms Park twice, and I think if we can continue that momentum, and definitely ending up in the Principality for the last game for Italy, you know, having a good crowd does definitely make a difference.
How big a step is that within the group?
It's a huge step, and the girls are really excited to play at the Principality. And we'll see what type of crowd we'll get, you know. Filling up Cardiff Arms Park, you can feel it, because when you're on the field, the seats are so close, like you can feel and hear the fans. And obviously it's a different spectacle again than when you go to the Principality. You've got a bit of distance between you and the fans, so we'll see how we like that.
Yeah, it will be a fabulous occasion. How many Six Nations is this for you now?
Started in 2015, so quite a while. I've missed nine seasons due to injury.
Let's round it up for a quick 10. But do you have a moment just to think and go, geez, when we started all this to where you are now with social media going through the roof, the training schedule, the contracts, the playing, the Principality? Is it sort of pinch me moments?
Yeah, 100%. Like, I've always dreamt of being full time as soon as I came into the system, and while it was before 2015, working through, you know, the age groups, I thought, I love this. I love the game. I love playing every weekend. I love the training. I love the professionalism behind it. You know, I was always finding jobs or going to uni to fit around rugby. Like, rugby is my life, and everything is fitted around the game. And I'm just really grateful and so happy that it's moving in the right direction.
Well, who knows? You play red and white for Gloucester Hartbury, red for Wales, and there may be another red shirt in the offing in a couple of years' time. But look, that's we're getting well ahead of ourselves. One last, and you may say I have no idea at this stage, but what will be the final kind of messages, the kind of tone of the final messages when you are literally about to run out of Cardiff Arms Park for the opening game of the Women's Six Nations against Scotland?
First game is going to be a big game. No regrets. Leave it all out on the park. You know, we trained so hard. The week's building up to this brilliant occasion. Just go out there, enjoy it. You know, we train to play. We're rugby players at the end of the day. And go out there, enjoy it, and love every moment.
Over to France now to hear from their camp. Manet Fellow. Manet, lovely to see you. Thanks so much for coming on the Women's Rugby Pod. It's an obvious question, but we're on the dawn of a Six Nations. Where are your feelings and emotions ahead of the tournament?
Thanks for having me, first of all. I think it's a lot of excitement and... Yeah, I'll say excitement is the word. We can't wait to get back to games, and we can't wait to play in France as well, because it's been a while, and I know that the girls and me personally as well, we love playing on home ground.
Well, let's talk about that now. Le Mans for the first game. Do you enjoy travelling around and having different atmospheres around the country? It's obviously the men are doing it with the Six Nations at the moment with... Stade de France is being revamped for the Olympics, but it's something the women have always done is go around and travel. Do you enjoy that aspect, or would you prefer to be sort of plumped in one place?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's really important to get rugby going around all around France. I think some parts of France are more known for rugby and some aren't really, and Le Mans is one of the places that isn't really known for rugby, and I think it's really interesting to go to places where you don't see rugby often and get people hyped up around rugby and get them to know about rugby.
And I guess, you know, we've hosted the rugby there. Can we have tickets for the Grand Prix? I bet, yeah, I'm sure. No, I understand how it's working now. Absolutely. Looking at this French squad, and there's lots and lots of familiar faces. Of course there is in all these squads. But there's a slight transition to France, I would have said, since the last World Cup. What can we expect from this group of players on the field in terms of your tactics and what you're trying to put out on the park?
I think we, since the W15, we've been growing our game. Defense has always been a really big strength in our team, and attack is something that we've really been working on. We want to play freely and enjoy ourselves on the pitch, and especially with the younger girls. I think they bring something really fresh to the team and to the attacks, so I really can't wait to see that mixed with the girls that have been there for a longer time. I think it's a really great mix of experience and freshness, I'd say.
Anybody in particular, those fresh new faces that we should be looking out for France?
I'd say all of them, because they all have a thing. So I'd say all of the new faces and the not-so-new faces as well.
A lot of people, I suspect, today would have been focusing on the England-France game at the end of the tournament. I suspect you guys won't be, because you've got four games before that. You start with Ireland at home. What are you expecting from Ireland in that challenge?
We're expecting a really big game. Ireland is always really physical. And as I was saying in other interviews, what has been really cool in the past few years is that the gap between the top teams and other teams in that Six Nations is getting smaller and smaller. And it's just so positive for women's rugby. And I think that every game is... a game that you have to prepare and be 100% prepared for. So we really can't wait for Ireland, because I think it's going to be a really big game.
Early on, I spoke to David and to Gail, your coaches. Have you set ambitions for this tournament?
we must have four wins, that's non-negotiable, or is it about a level of performance?
I think it's a bit of both. We really want to perform. That's the number one thing that we took, especially after the W15 and our two losses. I think we really want to show another a different face in this tournament, and we want to win the Grand Slam that we want. We've been wanting for a long time, so that's one of our big objectives in the Six Nations.
Who do you personally like playing against, one on one as an individual and team? Finally, is that a different question? Is that a first time you've been asked that today?
Yeah.
Yes, that's original question. 6 hours
Wait, in. So, what team and what player in that team?
Yeah.
I'd have to say England, because they're always big games. I'll say Marty Parker.
We didn't manage to catch Adele McMahon Tricky at the launch, so we caught up with Sam Monahan a couple of days ago.
Just recovering from a few bumps and bruises. How's recovery coming?
Yeah, well, it's been quite a slow process. I think it's been about 2 months now, but have made great leaps and bounds in the last couple of weeks. Returned to contact this weekend, which is great after 7 weeks off. You can imagine what it feels like, but no, buzzing to be back in with the girls. There's a great atmosphere at the minute. Sadly missed the launch, but I had other things to tick off to get myself back on the pitch, but it looked like a great day.
Yeah, it was. It was good fun indeed. Look, you've done a few of these Six Nations campaigns now. How does the mood in the sort of build up to this Six Nations, not the tournament as a whole, but particularly you ladies in green, how's the mood in camp compared to others?
To others previous?
Yeah, the Six Nations.
Yeah, I think, I mean, this is the most preparation time we've had for Six Nations that I've been involved in the past. I know last year we had that release week the week before, and then the build up to the Wales game. But even coming off the back of WXV, you know, that win, as you know, there's momentum there. We had a lot of time to bond over there and, you know, kind of come together as a squad after a tough campaign last year, and kind of work towards a common goal and what we all want to do and what we want to achieve in the next couple of years, and that's to qualify for the World Cup. So, you know, this is our chance to do it, and this is our aim for the tournament, just to qualify. But no, you know, there's a lot of experience come back in. Hannah O'Connor, Lauren Delaney, we've Enya Breen back, who we missed a lot last Six Nations. So to have that experience back in the squad as well will be massive for us. And yeah, there's a good buzz. The girls are gelling well at the minute.
You just touched on the squad there a little bit. The makeup of that squad in particular, I mean, my eye immediately went to, because it's not always been the case. Some of those outer backs who are normally plying their trade in the seven shirt are back ensconced for the Six Nations. That must be a real boost when you look outside you.
Yeah, 100%. Like, it just creates more competition within our squad, which ultimately makes us better. Rugby players, the harder we train against, the better we can play on the pitch, and the experience and skill set they have is quality. So, you know, they're with us in Dubai, and they've been in and out for the, you know, the last couple of years, and they've a big year too, so to have them a part of this is really special, and I'm sure they'll work their magic on the pitch.
I know Scott Bean, obviously, from the time that he was coaching England for many years, and we're having a chat at the launch. In terms of, it has been a bumpy old road in the last couple of years for Irish women's rugby. Where are you now? Has that settled down, and how much does that allow you to just get on and do what you do and be a professional rugby player and an athlete?
Yeah, like, you know, last year was really tough, and, you know, it's something, you know, that lives with you. You know, you're not going to forget it, but you just want to put your best foot forward and do the best you can for that green jersey. I know, like, we had a tough time not qualifying for the World Cup. We missed that period of time where teams got like 8 weeks together, had a lot of experience leave us through selection and retirement, so had a big gap to fill, younger players coming through. Scott's done really well, like, on an education piece, like educating our team. You know, I think it's kind of, you know, when you're playing internationally, maybe sometimes it's known, you know, how to play, but he's done really well educating us why we're playing this way and what type of rugby we want to play. So even we've had Declan Danaher in from London Irish. He's been quality, he's detailed, so good, his enthusiasm, you know, you just you want to go out there and defend. Like, he's just one of them coaches that whatever he says, you just want to go do. So it's great to have him involved in our squad as well. And we've had Sean Ryan come in and help us with our leadership and culture, so bring us all together. So all them off-field and on-field pieces, you know, it's really exciting to have in our armoury coming into the Six Nations. And you don't really know until your first test how you measure against other teams. So just really looking forward to getting going this week and training hard and getting on that flight to France.
Absolutely. You talk about leadership there. I don't know how you do it, whether you cut the armband in half and you both wear sort of half each, you and Adele. But how does captaincy sit with you?
We don't have armbands anyway, but no, it's like, you know, me and Jakey are quite shout out to Meg Jones for her armband and sevens. Me and Tricky, you know, we're quite like-minded. We played together at Wasps, so a couple of years. Like, we know each other quite well off the pitch. We'd be really good friends. And, you know, a lot of people ask us this question, and it just seems to kind of flow. I don't really know how to explain it, but we lean on each other in different situations. One of us might play good cop, bad cop, depending on what the situation is. But it's good to have someone there to back up, you know, what you're going for and to lead this team together. There's loads of leadership there. You know, the support system we have below and above is class, like the leadership we have in our management, and even having them girls I mentioned before back in, you know, having as many leaders on the pitch as possible is, you know, brilliant to have in one squad. So just to keep growing the leadership within the team has been big for us.
As I understand it, that framework of why you're playing the way you are, quite rightly put in by Scott, how much is now being driven by your leadership group, by you and Adele, or Tricky, as most of us know her by, and that leadership group? How much is now being driven by you guys?
Yeah, like, as I said, you know, there was a big education piece in Dubai, you know, about how we're playing and how to implement that. But we have our strat group together now, and we, you know, drive a lot of the team meetings, and Scott kind of hands it over to us now, because, like, at the end of the day, it's us that's out on the pitch, and we have to be able to fix them moments when things are going wrong. So it's great to even grow that within the squad. Like, Dana, she, you know, she's such a young 10, but so skillful and experienced, to pass on some leadership to her, and a few of the other players within that will make us inevitably such a better squad.
What is the aim of Six Nations? Have you said we need to win all the home games, we need to win two, we're going to go win the championship? Of course you'd like to go win the championship, I get that. But has a goal been set this Six Nations that you can share with us?
Yeah, our goal is to qualify for the World Cup. We've said that from the start, you know, from Dubai. We wanted to win WXV3 and we've done that. And then going into this, you know, qualifying for the World Cup is massive to us. You know, so many still hurting from the last couple of years, and where us not getting to that World Cup, where that kind of left us from experience point. And it's a goal we're coming into this, you know, if every game we go into, we want to win, you know, because why else compete in that tournament? But yeah, to qualify for the World Cup, that's our number one target.
So it all kicks off France away.
Yeah.
I think they found your rugby pitch rather than a sort of F1 track in Le Mans, but yeah, promise there is a bit of grass too. I think it's great sort of sharing it all around the country. There's no greater place to get yourself all fired up, is there, than a vociferous French crowd away?
No, like, I remember my first, second Six Nations game was Toulouse away, and the atmosphere was nothing like I've ever experienced before. There was trumpets going, you know. I remember jumping up on a line out and there was this whistle going. I thought it was a referee. Like, it's just nuts. It snowed in the warm-up and then I got sunburnt by halftime. So, typical Irish skin.
But, it was a particularly cloudy day, yeah.
Yeah. But, no, it's really good. And, like, you know, what better way to showcase what you've been working on the last couple of weeks and, you know, 6 months as a squad in front of a buzzing French squad. So really looking forward to that. It's going to be a big week, you know. Learned a lot the last couple of weeks and hopefully we can do the job on Saturday.
One silly one to finish, if I may. Kind of an Irish player. If you could have anyone else from any other squad, who would it be and why?
God.
Oh, do you keep club captain happy? Do you pick Mo?
It's always great to have a good nine.
The physio at Italy is really good.
Huh?
The physio at Italy is really good.
No, we've a great physio team in Ireland. I definitely keep them there. God, that is a tough question. I'd have to probably go Scars. You know, her comeback the last couple of weeks, like I've, you know, that first game against, who were they playing? Bristol.
Yes, Bristol, yeah.
Bristol, yeah. Just, I was watching at home and, like, you wouldn't have been able to tell she'd been out for the last 14 months. And just the experience and knowledge she has is class. So, yeah, I'd have her in our back line.
Italy are up next. Elisa Giordano. Here we are with the Italian captain, Elisa Giordano. Giordano?
Giordano, sì.
Giordano. Yeah. Perfect. How has today been for you? It's fun, exciting?
Yeah.
Boring?
Sì. A volte, però sono gli oneri e gli onori di essere capitano, quindi sia la parte bella che la parte brutta.
Sometimes it's boring, but I'm a captain, so I have to do so, but it's normally fun today.
What is not boring is the start of another Six Nations. What is the mood like in the squad, in the camp, ahead of the Six Nations?
Le ragazze sono cariche, hanno voglia di iniziare.
Me and my teammates are ready, and we are ready to start this competition. We can't wait to start. We're improving, and we have to prove ourselves what we are.
It's not an easy start, England. But you like playing against England. You cause England problems, especially at home in Parma. But it's a tough start to the competition, right?
Allora, sicuramente
playing in Parma, it is of course a positive thing, and start the tournament in Parma is positive. And I think that also start against England, it is a positive thing for us because England is a tough game opponent, and it is a team that is difficult to defeat. But we're improving, we're playing, we're studying, we're training a lot, so we've got to be ready for this match.
And at the end of the tournament, where does Italy want to be? What constitutes success for Italy in the Six Nations?
Allora, partendo dal presupposto che...
Starting from the fact that winning every match is our ambition, and we are trying to improve, and we want to win as much as possible. I think that from the second position, second or third position will be great for us.
Last but certainly not least, Dr. Rachel Malcolm, the Scotland skipper. Rachel Malcolm is here asking everyone, how's the day so far? Because these days can... I mean, last year was a selfie fest. Today, how different is today?
Today's a wee bit more, like, professional, I would say, in a good way. Like lots of very, very cool things they put on, like obviously in this kind of cool venue, but like the way they've transformed some of the rooms, it's kind of incredible. So yeah, really cool day, lots of stuff that we've never done before. So yeah, pretty exciting.
Because it's like it's a cinema, isn't it? And
yeah.
They've sort of cleared it out for the day. And there was images, was it of you playing or Scotland playing?
Scotland
sort of
playing,
filming around
yeah,
you?
So like the whole room, like all like walls of the room, roof of the room was like covered in the same image, like, well, the same like video basically, like highlights reel of Scotland. It was really cool, proper immersive. Yeah.
And then you signed your name down the side there. You're on the billboard.
I've actually got a terrible signature.
Have you?
Yeah, I kind of like wish I had actually thought about that at one point in time, because when you do things like that, you just look like a child scribbling, which is exactly what it looks like. It's not even in the centre of it. So, yeah, I've done a really good job.
Listeners, RM, can we come up with the logo, please?
Yeah, RM. That could work.
Easy enough.
Yeah, I could just go on.
Yeah, just RM. Perfect.
Yeah.
You've been here before. You've got the souvenir tray, the mug, the T-shirt, the tea towel. How excited are you coming into this Six Nations? Because it must be hard year after year. I'm personally finding that after 17 of them.
Yeah.
How excited are you? And what new challenges can you see on the horizon?
I think it's easy to say like it becomes samey, but I think with the women's game, like, because every year the growth in so many different aspects is so big, it doesn't feel the same. Like, even coming here today, like, the number of people here, like, the excitement around it, like, you can already feel like, God, this is going to be bigger than it's been before. And I say that every year, which is, it probably sounds like I'm chatting rubbish, but it actually is. And, like, even in Scotland, like, we're on course to potentially sell out the Hive for the first time, and like, we're definitely going to have a record crowd this Six Nations, and like, stuff like that adds excitement to it. Whereas I think with like the men's Six Nations, they've probably reached a little bit of a ceiling with lots of those things, and they don't maybe get that added excitement each year, whereas we just keep seeing this growth in our game, and like, you know, next thing we'll move on to a bigger stadium. And do you know what I mean? Like, I just feel like it's that kind of side of it just means that every year it feels different. So for those reasons, I am extremely excited. I think also coming off the back of WXV and like kind of turning the tide a little bit, like this time last year we were in a pretty dark place in terms of results and performances as well for that matter, but we kind of knew that it was coming and we were building and we finally built. So now we want to use that as a benchmark and push on. So we're just seeing this tournament as an opportunity to push those ceilings a little bit.
You say you're building, what are the next few bricks you need to put in the wall?
Convert more points. As in, not necessarily penalty conversion, sorry, more just our conversion rate needs to be better. I think we've really taken strides as a defensive team. You know, I think we're harder to score against than we used to be, and I think we're holding good teams out for long periods of time. But that becomes exhausting if you're not putting points on the board the other end of the pitch. And I think, for me, that would probably be the difference this Six Nations if we want to compete at the topper end of the table. Topper? Higher end of the table, that's better. Then we need to convert when we have the opportunities, and I think that'll be the difference between us, you know, being happy in and around the bottom end of it versus competing near the top.
You're an extremely settled side. I described you as a family to your coach Brian earlier on, and you're the centre of that sort of Mother Hubbard, as it were, in the middle. This Celtic challenge, and I don't particularly want to talk about that because we spoke about that with Brian, but youngsters coming through, pick out two or three names for us. You've been in camp and you've gone, wow, I can't wait to play with these players.
Alex Stewart would be the first one. She's a back row. And she's just, I know, lots of back rows coming in, actually.
So she's rubbish. Yeah.
No, they're all actually class, to be fair. But that's exactly what we need. You know, we are not going to get very far if you've just got, you know, me and Jade Conco banging the drum forevermore. So it's definitely what we need, and I think Alex Stewart come through from the Celtic Challenge, and Merrin as well in the back row. Both of them have stood out for me in training. Two very different players, one kind of a traditional six, one a traditional seven, both brilliant athletes and really like exciting rugby players. So those would probably be the two I'd pick out.
Is it a nice feeling having to look over your shoulder now?
Yeah.
In the past few years, to be fair, you haven't, you know, that pushing for that top 15, 20 players hasn't been there. But now, I was talking about picking a back line, for example, it's a proper nightmare now.
No, like 100%. And I think it'd be unfair to say that we haven't had to look over our shoulders before, particularly in the pack. Like, we've had a huge amount of depth, particularly like back row, second row wise. So it's just a bit different, I guess, when it's new faces. But it's exactly what we need. And like, the reason I think we were so successful at WXV was that we very much had an ethos around, regardless of who gets selected and who's on the pitch, this group's going to do everything they can to prepare them. And we've tried to continue that on. We'll see whether that comes to fruition when we get into to nitty-gritty of it in selection and tournament time, but ultimately, if we want to start to compete, we need depth across positions, we need competition, we probably need different people playing in different games because of who we're playing and all those things. So that's kind of a transition into to being competitive at the top level, is that you can't have the same 15 players playing week in, week out.
And last one, because we're getting the eyeballs, because it's a busy old day, and that's a good thing, right?
Yes.
We've been here times before when it's not been so busy. Wales, you love a game against Wales. There's no better way to start the championship, especially down there.
Yeah, no, really excited. I love like the hostility of it. I love everything about it. Yeah, usually we go down to Cardiff and get abused in the streets, as we, not in a bad way, as in a bit of banter in the streets from the fans and stuff like that, and it's good fun, it's great, it's what it's all about. And there's always a lot of noise, there's always a lot of chat on the pitch, and it's always an absolute battle. So yeah, we're up for it, we can't wait.
Do have to apologise some of the audio quality through that podcast at the launch. It was a busy event, which is brilliant, isn't it? Lots and lots of media attention there, but yeah, it did make it a little bit noisy, so apologies for some of the audio there. We'll be back on Friday tomorrow with Sarah Byrne going through all the team announcements, your final bit of preview work ahead of a massive weekend in the 2024 Women's Six Nations. See you then.